Monday edition live in Oxnard, California. We are a well-oiled machine here on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Week two of Cowboys camp from Oxnard, brought to you by On-Time Experts, Rhino Shield, and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar.
Got fixed just as I was about to do the today. I consider myself the luckiest man.
That's 3 weeks ago, that speech, right?
Peyton, good morning. I miss you already, Pepe. I've missed you already. How are you doing back home?
Well, the FOMO's hitting hard because I see all three of you guys in sweatshirts. And I know it's not just because you're in studio like you usually are. It's because it's, I'm going to guess, 55 right now. Chris, 55 out there?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look
it's really not that bad this morning.
Yeah, it doesn't feel bad at all. It feels really nice.
Last night leaving dinner was actually way worse than this morning.
Yes.
Last night leaving dinner, I mean, Zach and Eric came to dinner in sweatshirts. Choppy and I were in T-shirts. And then while leaving there, they went to the bar afterwards out on the beach. And I know that had to be frigid out there. And I know you love hearing about this back in DFW.
It is 59, to be exact.
Oh, a little
and, more. And Peyton, it feels like 60.
Oh. But hey, it is 4:02 in the morning, so take solace in that.
That's right.
4:02. We have sprained livers, seafood poisoning, menu boycotts, irritation already amongst the 105.3 The Fan staff as we are out here with the G-Bag Nation. So the FOMO just hit you in terms of the weather, Pepe, or was there anything else with pictures or storytelling?
Well, I mean, the menu that you posted yesterday, Sean, got me some major FOMO. But then I heard before the show you guys didn't even go there. The walk to the beach and everything, the big seal that Bobby posted on his Twitter account, all the major FOMO, because it's the West Coast. You know, I love the West Coast. So, yeah, the FOMO's already hitting day one. But the airport stories, I'm sure you're going to get into, that I did not miss.
We could actually see Seattle from our hotel, but it was wild.
Flying in, for sure.
So we went to dinner with Chiafalo and Zach, and then RJ and I went back to the hotel to crash. Bobby, you guys went round two?
Yes, we did. We went out to Rudder Room and ran into Tommy Yarish, Nick Harris, and Kyle Yeomans and hung out on the beach for a little bit. And then we came back and we were hungry, and so then we went to In-N-Out.
Oh, so where did you end up eating
your... Which is nowhere near as good as Whataburger.
Where did you eat your original dinner last night?
In-N-Out.
Oh, you did not eat until In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Wow.
How did you handle that? I was starving at 5 o'clock. there we go. I see.
Give it
very
one.
Subtle. Just like the young that's college girls do.
That's subtle. That was subtle. Figure that one out.
Yeah, so we had originally an 11 a.m. flight, or maybe 10:30 flight. It was a 10:30 flight out of DFW. And as I wake up, the fellas start texting that we have a six-hour delay.
Yeah.
A six-hour delay, not cancellation. It's a like Tolo OG Floyd said. You didn't get delayed. You got canceled.
Yeah, well, it might have gotten canceled eventually. I had to go look it up, see if it even took off. But yeah, it was a delay. I noticed something was wrong because I went on to go, see what gate. This is like 6:30. I woke up 6:30. It's like, all right, let me just see what's going on, and. It said delayed, and I was like, is this my flight? Like, surely this has got to be Tim Collins' flight. And for some reason, because I booked a lot of these, got all, you know, jumbled up with mine. I was like, oh, no, this is our flight. Because I had noticed that Bobby's seat had changed. I was like, well, I didn't approve that. I didn't authorize that. I didn't authorize any Bobby seat change. We got him the free drink row.
Your voice already is so piercing.
I had to take my headphones off and be like, "How is that reverberating as loud as it is?" Like, yep, that's bad.
So I was like, oh, that's not good. So I text y'all immediately, hey, 6 hour delay. Now it says on there, you can change your flight free of charge. I was like, ooh, okay. So let's see. Now the first flight, now it was 6:30, I was awake. Now, we could have left on a flight at 8 a.m. We never would have made it.
And by the way, I ate breakfast at 7. I'm just putting that in there as a side note to get back to Bobby's food. I ate at 7 because
okay.
I was getting ready to get an Uber and a car at like 8:30 to get to the airport.
So we couldn't have made the 8 o'clock. I tried to get us on one that would have left like 10:15, but as soon as I clicked it, it went away. I was waiting for you guys to respond whether you wanted to do that or just stay on original flight. And then we found one that was going to go into Ontario, California, not Canada.
Oh.
Which is like east East LA.
Yeah. East. Because we were going to finally get our dream of flying into the closer airport to here.
Right.
And I was like, all right, here it is. The company has no excuse. We're going to upcharge it. We're about to live the dream.
But one seat. They only had one seat available as opposed to three. So it didn't offer it. So we go to Ontario, which had to change rental car, had to change everything. And it got us here basically about maybe, 45 minutes later than we normally would have landed. But we had like a two-hour drive.
Yes, 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Which was brutal.
I'm glad I brought my nausea medicine this year. That did save me. It almost ran out at the end of the 2 hours. But
so I'm dying. Like, I'm like, don't stop. Like, don't stop in the car. When I get to the airport, I had already eaten breakfast at like 7. And I was like, just strip. I had breakfast enchilada.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm married to that. they're like, you want to stop? You want to stop? I'm like, no, just power through. I don't want to stop. Like, power through. So by the time we get here, I hadn't eaten anything from 7 a.m. And we got to the hotel probably at what? Like, California time.
Three,
which is 5. You and I, we didn't eat lunch. Didn't eat.
You ate your ration I gave you in the car.
Yeah,
your
half Bobby a protein had bar. One little protein bar. I felt like I was surviving in the wilderness. I had no water, no drink, no nothing. I'm afraid to expense anything with these $7 waters out here.
$7.
$7 for this water, y'all, on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's one of those just taller, smart water bottles. $7 in this state.
California.
And so RJ and I are dying, Peyton, and we're like, we gotta go to eat. We got to. So we find this place has a ton of different restaurants. Corey Major suggested it. We go in, we get some seafood tacos. I sit down. I have an ordering number. Choppy has an ordering number. Bobby has nothing.
Nothing.
And I'm like, where's your ordering number? What'd you get? He goes, they serve seafood here. I'm not eating. So that hit me in terms of, I don't know why I feel this guilt about it.
I know. I felt the same way. I was like, oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're all starving. I know you're starving. It's like taking my kid to a restaurant. I know he's not going to touch anything.
Right.
And I know he hasn't eaten all day. So in case you don't know, Fantex, Bobby's rule is he's not going to eat seafood, number one. But if the restaurant serves more seafood items than regular items, he says that the regular food will taste like seafood because they cook it in the same oil. You believe it's the same kitchen? Or
a lot of times, yeah. It's getting used in same frying oils or different things like that, and everything just ends up sort of tasting like that smell coming out of the kitchen.
Well, so, okay. Bobby, what you have to do is tell them you have like a shellfish allergy.
And then they will say, don't eat here because this is a shellfish place.
No, they won't do that. They'll say, well, cook whatever you want and not in, you know, in a separate oil.
Yeah, what about a salad? A salad.
Then the salad will taste like seafood. Like, that's the whole point. You don't understand.
But that's only because you're smelling seafood in the place.
Yes.
Just cover your nose.
Okay, right. I agree. What are we missing here? This is just the fear factor
and pull your nose.
So we don't eat. Bobby doesn't eat in that place. I said, all right, there's like 5 other restaurants around here. Let's just walk to another one. Let's get him fed. And we find this place where I posted the menu. It did serve a lot of seafood. But at that point, I was like, screw it. They have music and drinks. They had a bar. Yeah. I wanted to go in, find a bar, meet up with all the fellas, get the entire crew. Ruben, Carter came as well, and Bobby was not going to eat off that menu. I tweeted that menu out, and it gave me great entertainment to see the Tolos the rest of the night pick the things off the menu that Bobby could have had. They said, screw it, just get him the kids' meal.
Yeah.
You know, cut up his chicken fingers when you order them for him. So that's why we were stunned that he then went to the third place, and then fast food, In-N-Out. That's a long time not eating.
The third place we went to didn't have food at all because Rudder Room.
Yeah, they don't even have working toilets.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was no. Look, let's just go ahead and we'll operate under the crazy assumption that I'm wrong. That this is a silly rule that I have. That's fine. The thing that stuns me is how every year you guys are surprised, like, wait, he's not eating something. It's like, yeah, this is a replay of every place we went last year.
I think we just assume that, you'll grow out of it. Yes.
When have I outgrown anything?
That's true. For the 972, it's got to be exhausting being around a 40-year-old toddler.
Yeah, you know what? And then he's walking this morning with his he's got his heating pad already out for the trip.
Yep.
He's got all of his ticks. I swear you and your wife are perfect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
he was testing when we got the rental car, Peyton. He opened it and he's like, when it's hot, this felt like this material in here is going to set off my car nausea. And I swear to God, y'all, I'm not playing.
It's crazy.
I'm not playing. Like, I'm already like, I know I'm going to lose it. I know I'm going to lose it on him. And we're day one. And he's like, no, it's just something. I said, the car is going to be cold here in like 5 minutes. He's like, no, but it's already like in my head. Like, it's in my mind. And then he's on his phone, of course, nonstop. And I said, Bobby, make sure you send me the prep email. I want to do. We got a 2-hour drive. I want to be done with all of our work. And he's like, "Well, fine. You're gonna make me sick. You're gonna make me sick because I can't read. I can't read and type on my cell phone in the car." And I said, "Yeah, but you're on your phone anyway. But there's a difference between prepping and reading the phone and all that stuff. So these are all the things.
I could look like I can take a break. Okay, I'm feeling a little dizzy. I can look up. I can't do that when I have to type out my prep because it's like, nope. I got to stay committed to knocking this.
Doing the breaststroke like." Yeah. I can look up from my phone. I can take a breath. I can see. So, heating pad, boycotting of the menu.
Nausea.
What else?
But is the heating pad that bad? Like, the heating pad is...
No, it's just
funny.
Heating
pad, I hurt my back.
No, it's just funny that you're just complaining. You think it's a liver, it's a kidney. You guys were dissecting the human body while walking in earlier today. I don't know what's going on. So, what is it? Is your back and your liver?
My back's fine this morning now that I put the heating pad on. I just tweaked a muscle or something yesterday. This, I don't know what this is. This is my side. It's near where my liver is, and I drank a lot last night.
I think it's your kidney. I think you'll be fine. You can get rid of one of those.
Did anyone else get loose last night?
Wolchuk was a little, but like, I mean, I don't think anybody was like sloppy, but I mean, I was probably the worst, and I ended up, I was telling Chop, I think it's local standard Pacific Standard Time, I think we finally got in and laid down. It was 11:45.
Man, good luck today. Good luck today.
3 a.m. wake up, baby.
3 a.m.
It hit like a train with that alarm. I was like, God, no.
Hey, but you did go strong. That's your victory.
That's right.
You did go strong, and you did represent the most in the morning show. And you you had some adventures after
we got back. Oh, I did.
All this is going to end up proving Bobby's point here after Choppy goes off.
I felt my stomach starting to cramp a little bit at the restaurant where we were having drinks with
the seafood G-Bag. Restaurant,
huh?
The seafood restaurant.
Yeah, I felt it starting to cramp. I had a moment. I was walking. I got off the elevator and I was walking to my room, and I felt something almost slip out.
Your wallet.
And I was like, you know, and I give myself one of those a year. I allow myself to poop my pants once a year. Without judgment, I'm, you know, I feel like once you hit beyond 45, you one pant poop a year without judgment, and I almost came close yesterday. And I sat down the toilet, and as I was sitting before my cheeks hit the toilet, I heard a splash. It had already come out, and I got the chills. As soon as I got out, I got the chills.
Chubby texted us, Peyton, that he got the chills. I was like, okay, he's going to miss tomorrow's show. He's going to be out.
Pooping.
And I realized it was like, because I was trying the Japanese tactic where you put the...
Please explain.
Well, they sleep at 55 degrees. And
like an egg or temperature?
Temperature. So I was trying that.
55 degrees?
They sleep at 55 degrees, according to science. And they say it's better for your body. You get like 2 to 3 years younger by doing that every day. So I was trying
and
that.
Poor.
And I realized.
How do they afford that utility bill?
I have no idea. But I realized that, you know, that's probably why I had the chills. It probably wasn't the poop. It was 55 degrees in the hotel, and I was stark naked.
You told me your AC wasn't working.
It wasn't initially. I had to figure it out. So it was.
Lower it.
It was
MacGyver over
no,
here.
No, I had to use the remote. I had to use the remote, not the thing.
The remote.
I have a little tiny remote there.
Is it the one that looks like a little like almost audio recorder?
Yes.
Yeah, that thing is weird. I have no idea.
So,
what that was.
Seen that. I put it back. I put it up.
And
like,
you were walking around naked. Too.
Yeah, I put it back up. Well, I wasn't gonna shower at that point. Yeah, I didn't know what was gonna happen. Right. I sat there. I went a couple more times and. Somehow made it through the night, and I had to, you know, I had to pass gas this morning to make sure that it was solid.
Uh-huh.
So,
Bobby, you're, you know what? let's just leave this.
It's coming at some point.
These are the these are the adventures of the morning show. Day number one in Oxnard, California. Kyer Elam is going to sit down with us along with Nick Eatman in the final hour of the show. Let's take you inside practice. And did Jake Ferguson deserve the deal the Cowboys gave him yesterday? Oh, yeah. We got a red-hot baseball team as well. A loaded 6 a.m. hour with your sports team making all the headlines. Just getting started from Oxnard. Glad you're waking up with us on The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean R. Jambabi live from Oxnard, California, the site of Dallas Cowboys training camp, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com, Elite Game Day Grilling Favorites, Reliant AC, and Best Buy Windows and Siding. I was all set to talk about Jake Ferguson and his brand new contract, and then Bobby Belt stopped me in my tracks in the commercial break because Jerry Jones last night did his television media sit-downs. Before we get to that, Choppy, are you okay? I saw your face after Ruben's coffee here.
Man, not since the great Roger Emmerich gave us some of the worst coffee we ever had, that chicory crap.
Garbage.
Awful.
Keep Ruben, keep that New Orleans.
Guardian.
Huh?
Guardian.
Ruben comes up... I don't really know what that's talking about, but I think I do. Ruben comes in with some coffee this morning because he made some, and it almost gave me that bitter beer face. It was so strong. This is not coffee. This is fuel. Okay, this is, I like it. I like it, man. I really do. This is fuel. This is probably the only one I'm going to need today. And I didn't bring my heart medicine because I'm off it. I'm off my heart meds.
Nice.
Not because I'm better. I've just stopped taking it.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're being like negligent.
No, it gave me memory loss. Poor patient. It gave me memory loss and slurred speech. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
That was why you were slurring.
I was forgetting
everything. And stuttering and stammering.
I was forgetting everything. Like, even the most remedial task, I was like, what the hell did I come in here for?
Really?
What am I doing? Yeah, I was in a brain fog.
Okay.
So, like, I'm done. God, Bobby. And
what? What is going on?
He just sent me a little text, and I just can't read it.
Well, I don't like doing all this stuff off air. Like, we're doing effing radio. So explain what you're talking about, or just stop being a little kid in back of class.
Go ahead.
Stop.
So I don't remember where I was now.
I'm not going to do it, Bobby.
So I stopped taking the meds. So now I'm worried that my heart's going to explode. But, hey, listen, I'll be out here doing work with an exploding heart.
What did Jerry Jones say last night?
This is from Todd Archer. He was asked if he had heard the Pay Mike a Chance, which is what they were getting out of training camp's opening ceremony over the weekend. He was hearing Pay Mike. So as I say, did you hear
this? Here's the audio of it. This is Jerry saying hello and kissing babies and thanking Oxnard, addressing the crowd Saturday. Listen to the beginning.
I was shocked last year when we ended up with the record that we had. I never saw that coming. I want you to know, and I want you to look for as you watch practices this week. I want you to watch what we've done in the areas that we needed to work on.
All right, so then he just talks about, you can fade it out. He talks about improving the team and how he did it and all that. But in the beginning, people in the crowd were yelling, Pay Micah.
Yeah, listening to that, that sounded almost like just there was a commotion, like somebody got pushed or something. Like I wouldn't have been able to tell very easily that's what it was. But he got asked, did you hear that? Did you hear the Pay Micah chants? And Jerry said, I heard it light, but not compared to how I heard them say Pay Lamb. That was a faint little sound compared to the way they were hollering last year, Pay Lamb. But it was a big, loud chant last year on Lamb.
A faint...
Oh, my God.
...little sound.
I can't believe he said that.
He said that to Archer?
Yeah, he said that to Todd Archer.
This is... like, this guy is so insulting.
What is he doing?
Yeah, this... it's
this awful. Isn't like... that's... That's personal.
Yeah, it's personal.
This is getting personal.
Yeah, it's
that,
really
that,
bad.
That's not negotiating.
No.
That's
no.
insulting.
Yeah.
He may not have liked some of the stuff Micah said after the practice that day, where Micah kind of puffed his chest out a little bit about it. That may just be.
But why
like,
did he do it? This is like G-Bag getting upset with us.
Right.
This is like G-Bag. They like fire some shots. We return fire, and they're like, why did you say that? Why did you say that stuff to us? And so Jerry Jones can sit at the opening presser, talk about Micah's leadership, fire his shots, and Mike is not allowed to respond?
No, he's allowed to respond. It's just, I think Jerry will just say, okay, fine, here you go. Like, I mean, that's what it's going
to
be.
I heard the chant, the light chants, but not compared to how I heard them say, pay Lamb. That was a faint little sound. A faint little sound.
Yeah, this is worse.
There's a bigger chant last year. Like, they care about CeeDee Lamb more than you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and get the whole context of the Zeke who. Because this might be worse. Because if you just say the Zeke who, it's a reactionary little dig. This was like he said it, and then he kind of went in on it. Oh, it's a faint sound. I heard pay Lamb more. Ha ha ha. This was like a little faint sound.
Okay,
you know, he kind of went in more on this. This is almost worse.
Yeah, maybe we do need to hear it. Here is Jerry with Mike Ducey on Micah being on the sidelines without a new deal.
Obviously, Micah, first of all, does want to get paid. He's getting paid. You know, he gets about 20-something million right now. And that's pretty easy, 20 million, standing there watching practice out there at the same time we're going on. But seriously, I don't have a lot to say about it. This is pretty commonplace.
You know, you said he's getting paid for standing there watching. Is it disappointing to you that he's not practicing?
Not really, because I don't want him to get hurt. And he plays a contact, what you call a motion contact position. And linebackers, fullbacks, those guys are usually in the fray of it, and they take a pretty big of the brunt of the physicality of the game. So all of that is out there, but we'll see where this goes. But this is commonplace. It's commonplace around the NFL. It's commonplace here.
Jerry can't stand the – I'm surprised at the CBA sit-downs. They're not trying to wipe out players not having to play to the official end of the contract. He can't stand the whole I'm up.
Right.
It's time for me to – but y'all can cut the players.
Right. It's a one – Michael Irvin called it a one-track, not a contract. It's a one-track.
Yeah.
Where they can up and cut you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the players, this is their leverage, right? Their leverage is the year before once they're eligible for the – extension.
By the way, I'm trying to really give Jerry the benefit of the doubt, but Todd, in his article, ESPN.com, he did not say Jerry was like laughing, lighthearted, and Todd would have said that. Todd's good enough. He would have put that into the context, so it sounded like Jerry said that in a serious manner.
Because what other sport does anyone even talk about a contract extension before it's up?
I mean, baseball will talk about extensions while they're in arbitration years.
Arbitration years, yeah. But like when you're in the contract, like when Corey Seager's in his deal, until his player option or club option comes up, they're not discussing contracts. The NBA is like a set date; like you can get an extension this day. Especially when you're a rookie deal.
Let's talk about the contract of Jake Ferguson, friend of the show. I believe he's going to join us at some point in time this week. 4 for 52 with 30 total guaranteed. We were all surprised while sitting in DFW airport that this got announced because we all had thought this was a make or break it year for Ferguson. Gets a $12 million signing bonus. He's now the NFL's seventh highest paid tight end and the highest paid in franchise history. 4 for 52, Bobby.
Yeah, that's $13 million a year, which is higher than I would have guessed it would have come in. But this is look, I think given the structure of how this will probably shake out and some of the stuff that we know in terms of what's guaranteed, this probably is the way that it sounds. This is lining up to be basically a two-year deal. Is what it could be. And so it'll give them a chance to kind of look at things. He's already got this does not rip up his contract this year. So this basically locks him in for 5 years. So it gives him this year, gives him 26, gives him 27, and then they could reevaluate.
His cap number this year actually increases, according to Todd, by $400,000. It goes from 3.5 to 3.9. The question here, Choppy, is, you know, I was fine letting Ferguson play out this year. Is Jake Ferguson special enough? Is he good enough to really make you pay after the season he could have? You know, that's the question here. Did they really need to get out in front of it with Ferg's talents and trying to come back from last season? Because to me, I can, no offense for when he, you know, hopefully sits down, And I love the guy's mentality and emotion. And maybe they're paying him mm-hmm. some off of that. But I feel like I can go and try to find a Jake Ferguson, especially if I'm hearing about these camps that, you know, Schoonmaker and Spam Ford right. have been having.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know,
not that that means anything.
Spam Ford, who also rolled up his ankle yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying him not top of the market right now, but
seventh.
He could see the top of the market from where he is.
Like Peyton.
Yeah, right. From let's say Vancouver to Seattle. But I mean, is he better, is he as good as Mark Andrews?
Hell no.
Well, Mark Andrews and
he would have caught that pass from Lamar.
Andrews is on a $56 million deal. He's on a 14 a year deal. Basically the same thing.
These are going to keep climbing too, though. You got to remember, like,
they are.
Bowers is going to be coming up here in 2 years.
Well, Bowers, Laporta.
There's other that's going to get pushed out of the top 10, probably.
It is, but that's true. But like, you know, that's the thing. I think the replacement cost for a tight end. It's like a tight end. You either if you have an elite one, pay him. Dak has shown he can make any tight end pretty good.
So what's different about Ferguson?
Well, that's the, I don't know that there is.
No, there is. It's what Sean just said.
The dog.
It is that's part one of it. Part two is he understands the gravity of the Dallas. It's what he said to us last year sitting on that chair where he said, I understand that the name on the front of my jersey is going to take care of the name on the back. That's who he is. And he buys into that and he lives that more than almost anybody else in this building. And they go, we need that dude in that room.
This is Brian Schottenheimer yesterday on the breaking news of Ferg getting the extension.
Again, I use the word enforcer. His play style, his play temperament is just, it's just wired right, man. Like, I remember playing Seattle, you know, a couple years back, and, you know, he catches a little tight end screen, he takes off running, and Jamal Adams is coming from the side and kind of drills him, and he just kind of gets up, and, you know, he's not going to take any shit off anybody, and so he's got, you know, he's face mask to face mask talking trash, and he's the first guy to support somebody when there's a melee. When we had an issue the other day, he was the first guy in there kind of being, I won't say the calming force, but the... I guess I can't say voice of reason either. At least trying to separate people. But going back to that Seattle game, then he makes a huge play on Jamal. We run a little wheel route up the boundary, and he catches it. And just he plays off of that passion. He loves the game. I mean, shoot, to be honest, his grandfather's Barry Alvarez. Like, he's been playing physical football for a long time, his entire life, and that's the only way he knows.
All right, so what do y'all think? Franklin Franco injury attorney text line, should they have given out this money to Ferguson or waited to make him prove it this upcoming season or just replace him like he did to Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, and the other aspect of this that we'll get into later, I'm sure, is just the idea of that this is also the Cowboys probably leaning on Micah a little bit, just like they did with Jalen Smith, where they go, there's only so much pie. This is pie economics. If it gets all taken up, you're not going to get any. So we got a deal done here. I think they're going to get another deal done this week, probably. And when they get that done, it's going to start just leaning on people.
That faint little sound.
Faint little sound.
That's what he called the Micah chants. They were chanting louder for Lamb.
Oh, my God.
877-881-1053. Y'all.
This guy.
We have a red-hot baseball team to talk about. And we'll do it next on your home of the Texas Rangers after this.
And the pitch swung on and a drive well hit. Up the alley in left center field. That ball is way back, and that ball is in there for extra bases. One hop off the wall. One run home. Two runs home. Here comes Adolis, and he scores. Langford clears off the bases with a ringing three-run double, and it's 3-0 Texas in the first.
There was an old Texas Rangers saying this time of year when we arrive in Oxnard, California, RJ Choppy. Do you know what it is? You know what it usually is in radio land?
It was, just get me to training camp. Get me to football season.
Just get me to football season. Give us enough baseball to talk about. Mm-hmm. I had heard about this even before I got here doing this show 15 years ago. Well, the Texas Rangers have taken that and flushed it right down the toilet because we have a scorching hot baseball team that is going to get all of our attention on your home for Rangers baseball after pulling off the sweep against the Atlanta Braves yesterday on DFW Sports Station. 8-1 Rangers. They've won 6 in a row, 9 of 10. Oh, by the way, as Jared Sandler let the armpit know, the Astros get swept by the Athletics. You are all of a sudden 4 games back in the American League West, and you're right there with the wild card.
Right there. Right there. And things are clicking.
Wow.
The betting markets are starting to take notice. So the Rangers today are a minus 200 favorite over the Angels. There's only three other teams that are a minus 200 or above. All right. One is playing the Rockies. One is playing Washington. And one is playing the White Sox. They all have 62, 68, 78 losses. The Angels are basically a 500 team. So the Rangers are the only one playing a competitive baseball team. And here they are as a minus 200 fave.
So you're talking about just like as a standalone tonight favorite.
Standalone tonight favorite, yeah. So that's just around the sport today. No, granted, it's DeGrom against somebody you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But like they're clicking. The offense has been humming since the first week of June. Thank you, Brett Boone. Thank you, us. Really, we got him hired, right? Yeah. I think we did a lot there. Jack Leiter has picked it up. In the last 27 innings, he's allowed 9 earned runs. It's a 3 ERA. He's got 32 strikeouts. It's more than a strikeout per inning. He's only got 13 walks. In he's gone 6 innings. In 3 of those 5, he's gotten into the 6th and 4 of those 5 starts.
Mm.
So he's picked it up a little bit. I mean, if you want to go to a postseason series, and you've got obviously DeGrom and Eovaldi as your 1 and 2, and then you could back end with Jack Leiter, who's going to give you 6 decent innings. I mean, you'll sign up for that any day of the week. Most teams don't have a number 3. I mean, you got the great ones do, right? The World Series contenders do. Most teams are throwing out there a starter, and then they're kind of praying. Like, are you worried about, is it Bigby with Cleveland? Give me a break.
Yesterday, he goes 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 7 strikeouts, as Choppy alluded to. Last 5 starts, 3-1 with a 3 ERA, 27 innings, 32 strikeouts, a .221 batting average against. And yesterday, he got help from Wyatt with 3 runs batted in. Josh, 3-for-4 with a home run. Jonah is shutting me up. Oh, man, I swear I'm a human, Jakes. Last week, I was trying to say goodbye to Jonah Heim. Let's heal up Higgy's hamstring, and bam, he shuts me up with the clutch hit on Saturday and then delivering again yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you who you can jinx now. Jock Peterson. Get him turned around.
All right, let me think of something for him. Bobby, what the hell is going on?
I don't know. This is not, I just happened to notice this when I was looking over their schedule. Their last 26 games, they have won, lost in extras, or lost by a run in all but 2 of their last 26 games. Which means they were either tied at the end of the 9th, won the baseball game, or lost by a run in 24 of their last 26 games, which is absurd. They're finding a way. It's finally, the bats are kind of coming around the way that you want them to. The biggest thing here is Seager. Like, as soon as Seager comes through and starts hitting the way you knew Seager could, you can win with everything else that you have going on. I mean, you look at last night, you threw Jock Peterson back in that lineup. He went 0-for-4, like, right off of the DL. You got an 0-for-5 from Semien. Like, you still haven't seen, like, guys return completely to where they need to be, and yet the offense looks completely different, because that's the kind of impact that Seager can have when he's hitting the way that he does.
They, you know, the deadline is a couple days away. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, DH would be a spot, an obvious upgrade. I don't think you want to roll into the playoffs with Jock Peterson. You know, but like, and look, they probably don't want in a playoff game Semien hitting third.
Right. Although, I don't know. It's
been working.
Him getting
as a
moved
team,
there, and has changed the lineup.
It has, but like, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's the typical 3-hole hitter.
The Rangers are 21-4. 21-4 over this stretch. On July 7th, they were 11 games back of the Astros. On July 27th, improved to just 4 games back. They've gained 7 games on the armpit in 16 days.
21-20, that's crazy. You know, and now they're saying from the 903, third toughest strength of schedule remaining in the sport. But this is what we talked about this. They had to really kind of make their ground up during a softer spot of the schedule. And it hasn't been that soft. I mean, on paper.
No.
On paper,
Detroit.
Atlanta. Yeah, Detroit. Right? On paper, going into the season, like, all right, that Atlanta series, that's going to be a tough series. Well, they forgot how to play baseball. I mean, they just forgot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've taken advantage of what the teams on the other side have had, either down stretches or a softer spot of the schedule. And now as we get closer towards the deadline here. You got a four game set with the Angels, and that's going to lead you right into the deadline. And Anaheim they were ahead of us in the division for about a 2-3 week stretch.
They are now the.
I might have meant to say 12-4 over the last 16. If I said 21-4, I apologize.
Their run differential is now. There's only three teams in baseball that have about a better one than Texas. And I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about them being like plus 20 or something like that. So the Pythagorean win loss expectation chop. Which is the basically measurement of based on your run differential, what your record should be. Texas's record is now up to, it should be 61
wow.
and 44.
So, yeah, like you said, so in the American League, they have the second best.
Just behind New York.
And the Yankees can't get out of their own way. And then, so and the Yankees are plus 95, Rangers plus 74.
And Judge Hurt.
And the Cubs are plus 116, the Brewers are plus 92. But they got a better run differential than the Dodgers, San Diego. Man,
let's highlight
Phillies right there.
Let's highlight the rest of the weekend. Sean Armstrong was huge in the 10th, that epic game on Saturday where Simeon gets drilled in the head and then has the walk-off hit. You have Josh Young hitting in all five games since his return. This was as of Saturday. Reached in 10 of 17 plate appearances, initiated the big double play, got the big ninth inning walk as well, and then you get Jock activated. But man, all of a sudden, in a blink, it feels like you are right there tied in certain wild card scenarios.
They went from being probably unsure of what they were going to do deadline, maybe even on the slight sell, to hey, we're going for it. And they did that in a week, 2 weeks.
That's the way baseball go.
It is, Wash. That is the way baseball go. And now it's like, all right, who are you going to get? You wonder like what they want to spend, what they want to add to their payroll, and who's available, because it's like Seth Lugo just got signed. The Royals, they were going to trade maybe Seth Lugo, but they just gave him a 2-year deal. So some team looking for pitchers now, it's off the market.
Seattle again, Bobby.
Yeah. So this was we talked about at the end of last week that Seattle came in and they scooped up Josh Naylor, who was a player that
speaking
you
of
know,
big guys.
Texas was thought to be.
Peyton, don't play that anymore.
No.
After the Cincy dinner we had last night, just wipe that from the system.
Oh man.
I'm not talking. No more insults at G-Bag. We certain people can't take it.
Yeah.
No more.
I don't know if I like that one.
So the
last one.
The rumor around Seattle now is that they are going to be looking to be aggressively in search of high-end relief help. It's not even a rumor. It's just something that was, told to MLB Network Radio by the Mariners GM. So this is something where they already scooped up the batter from you that you were looking for, the bat that you wanted. And, I mean, we've talked about the two things Texas was probably going to be targeting were a bat and then some relief help and some high-leverage relief help. Buster only did say yesterday Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals, there's been a question about whether he would be made available or not. He said that the league is starting to believe he's going to be traded. And so Helsley will probably be one of the bigger relievers available that you could target.
Helsley, Bednar, Class A, Duran. There's another kid from Minnesota. I can't remember his name. But
Knobloch.
Not Knobloch. But there's some.
Duran?
Kirby Puckett.
No, I said Duran.
Ask Reggie about Kirby Puckett.
So
Eddie Gordado.
There's going to be guys that are available, yes, no doubt. It's just now with basically four guys that are at the top end of the market on the relief side, you always overpay for relievers at the deadline. Like, that's kind of it. Like, do you want to overpay for a relief pitcher? Especially on the bullpen that's got a top, what, 5 ERA?
Yeah, I mean, look, you by those standards, overpaid at the time for Mike Adams in 2011.
Yeah.
And I mean, that made a difference for them down the stretch.
Yeah, but look how that worked out for him. I mean, he's a friend of us.
Yeah, totally. I learned that didn't work out well for him. No, but, like, basically I think what you learn is that, like, we bring the difference.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're asking if this is the greatest offensive game in baseball history. It took place in our division.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Night for the big Amish. Smooth as butter, baby.
The big Amish.
Yeah, that's that might be a better nickname than the Girthquake. I don't know, but this guy, he missed a fifth home run in that game by about a foot.
That was That was
in the deepest part of the park.
3 feet, and that one was also going to be opposite field. He hit three of these to the other side.
He's amazing. He debuted on April 23rd.
Nick Kurtz.
Yeah, Nick Kurtz. He debuted April 23rd. Since then, he has the second best OPS in all of baseball.
What?
Only behind Aaron Judge.
What are y'all laughing at? Did I say his name incorrectly? We doing us?
They're being childish. So he's got the second best OPS in the sport behind Aaron Judge since April 23rd. That's almost the entire season, right?
April 23rd. He's a monster.
He's a monster.
He hit more home runs in the game than Jazz Chisholm hit in the Derby.
Yeah, I know.
That's my favorite stat.
Great stat.
That's not your night.
It's
six for six, four home runs, eight runs batted in, 19 total bases.
It's one of the best games you've ever seen.
Thanks, Captain.
He has 23 home runs. He had 23 home runs in his first 65 games this year. Wyatt Langford's 220 games into his career, he has 31. Like, I mean, he is just mashing the baseball. But this is what we hoped could have been the upside for Langford right out of the gate.
And look, you know, you said it was 65 games. There's adjustments coming from the league, and that's going to happen. It happens to everybody. It'll happen to him, and he'll have to adjust back. That's when you know that you've got it figured out or not. They just haven't figured out where to pitch him yet. But he is on a tear, and that was one of the greatest games you've ever seen. It was against an Astros team that could not get out of their own way in this series. What are they allowed? Who said this? Somebody said?
Oh, yeah, we saw this on the plane heading over here, Sean. 18 games in a row the Astros have allowed the first run.
What?
18.
That's impossible.
Tolo Bobby R says, don't worry about the Angels. The only time you see Trout on TV in October is at an Eagles game. So it'll be the Rangers and the Angels next on DFW Sports Station. You got a red-hot baseball team to go along with our football coverage here from Oxnard, California, the site of Cowboys Camp. We've told you about the contract drama with Micah and Jake Ferguson. Let's tell you what actually happened on the practice fields yesterday and this weekend. We take you inside the Star with our insider Bobby Roberto Belt after this.